Wide Developer Live episode 16. Sat next to me, looking actually quite worried, Mr. Simon Wolf.
Hello.
That's it, that's better. He's smiling now. And on our screen today, for all to see and us to see today, it is the one and the only, the most beautiful John Fox.
How are you, Scotty? How are you, Simon? It's a good thing we don't have outtakes where it shows me bumping my head up against the shelf that's on top of me in my studio.
Yeah, at John's studio, I think he's led under the bottom bookshelf, a large book rack. So, are you in a Borders or something?
Exactly. That's their bankruptcy emergence plan. Offer, you know, podcasting studios for independent developers. It's got to be at least as profitable selling books. So.
Well, there we are. If anyone from Borders is listening, we've just found a new business model for you. John is looking for a studio, and he's quite happy to live under a bookshelf somewhere. That is quite good. Right, John, you've only just got back from your world travels, with NS Conference, and then in New York, and then and now home. How are you feeling?
I'm jet lagged, but still very happy. It was an incredibly energizing few days. And it wasn't all that long, but it feels like it was a long time. And I feel like I saw a bunch of different things and thought about a lot of different things. Just, you know, not to keep piling on the kudos for the conference, but it really was stunning. So
good. And for the rest of us, we got to see you in a dress.
Yeah, that's something that I think a new product for kind of, you know, bleaching your mind of that image. I don't know what to call it, but
alcohol.
Mental Clorox.
Yeah,
killed the brain cells that might have held on to that vision.
I think for anyone who wasn't there, you just actually you were incredibly lucky. But you were lucky in missing NS conferences. You did miss the sight of John's legs, but there we are. And if you want to know what the heck we're on about, you have to hope that we actually bother to release that video. So we will see. Anyway, John, while you're on your travels, and we spoke a little bit about this last week, and this is where we're going to focus today, actually. WWDC came on, tickets came on sale. In fact, they came on sale a couple of hours before we broadcast last week. And we said we wonder how long it's going to take to sell out. And we predicted, you know, a few days. And yet, after 8 hours, was it 8 hours, 12 hours, something, they were gone. Yet you, John, managed to get a ticket.
I know, it's pretty astounding since I, you know, kept delaying last time and found myself without a ticket. And now the tables have turned, haven't they?
They have, because have you got a ticket?
No.
Have I got a ticket? Are you going?
Nope.
I am. I've decided to go. I've decided to go anyway, because actually, I mean, let's have a chat about this now, because WWDC is, the sessions are good. Labs are excellent. That's the bit I'm going to remiss, the labs. But actually, just being in time with 5,000 developers for the week is profitable as well.
Yeah.
And so soaking up some of the atmosphere. And actually, a lot of the value that I get from it are the people I meet and the conversations over a beer or the conversations over a coffee or the conversations over breakfast or the conversations over lunch. And so for me, I've made the decision that it's probably worth hanging out in San Francisco that week anyway.
There are far less interesting places you could be. And besides which, maybe you can do some more of those great video podcasts that you did 2 years ago, right?
That's not a bad idea. I could bring a video camera and just do variable interviews on the streets of San Francisco. Development for the homeless.
Exactly. You could really kind of talk to your local bum about the delegate pattern. It's 9 a.m. Should I drink?
I mean, this is interesting. We've not got that many people on air today listening. About the normal, actually. Some in the chat room. But is there anybody else who's going to just turn up who hasn't got a ticket? Because I've heard quite a few people sort of talking about it and saying that that's what they might do. And there is an un-WWDC going to go on, isn't there,
there
at
is
the same
there.
Time? But it's an online conference now. I've no idea how that's going to work. You heard anything about that?
I haven't heard anything about that at all. The other thing I was going to mention is on the following Monday and Tuesday, there's a cappuccino conference called CapCon, which looks really interesting.
Of course, because cappuccino is John's area of excellence after your great presentation at NS Conference.
Wow. Thank you. I would say that if people were interested, now you get to hear it from the people who actually wrote it. I mean, all the 280 North folks are going to be there, all the main contributors. So if it, you know, sparked your interest in any way, you definitely want to hang out and see that.
And where are they doing that?
It hasn't been announced yet, so they're looking for, they're trying to gauge interest for it and trying to figure out if they get a sponsorship. So the details are not very fixed at this time, but I'm confident it will take place. But it's likely to be at you know, some hotel meeting room somewhere that's in walking distance from Moscone, I imagine.
Yeah, or it could, if other than that, they'll join John under his bookshop.
I was going to say, they're in a Borders, yeah. Yeah.
Or Borders, right.
Yeah. Right, okay, so what we thought we'd do today on this episode is we would talk about the WWDC Survival Guide. Now, I know it seems like WWDC is quite a long way away, being, what, 10 weeks?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, it's about 10 weeks. Actually, I think some of the stuff that you need to know about WWDC and some of the stuff to make the best of it is if you go prepared, if you go sort of ready. And so therefore, rather than leave it sort of week before and say, okay, this is what you should have been doing, we're going to talk about some of the stuff that you could do now and some of the stuff to do while you're there. So, John, I know that you are a great fan of getting ready and gearing up for the labs at WWDC. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about the labs? Because when we ran labs at NS Conference, a lot of people weren't really sure what they were about. And then when we said they're like the labs at WWDC, sort of people still didn't know what they're about. And I sort of began to realize that even though we've spoken about it for probably 3 years running on this show, or whatever the name has been of the show when we've been at that time, really the labs are not that well attended or populated at WWDC compared to what they could be. Now, I know you like that because you get to spend lots of time in there, but just tell us about the labs and then tell us about what you do to prepare for those labs before WWDC.
Can I be selfish? The labs are a complete waste of time. Everybody who goes to WWDC should just really spend all the time in the most obscure of the presentations, because it will probably take at least 3 years before the videos are released. Now, the labs are your chance to get solved in a matter of minutes or hours problems that otherwise you could spend weeks, in some cases months, working on. So it's your chance to be able to sit time with the app, you know, the actual Apple engineers who write the frameworks that you are working with, and get your problem solved. So in terms of preparation, you know, whenever you're developing software over a long time, you know, people can't be experts in all areas, right? You know, so recounting my own experience with MemoryMiner, you know, the thing that really was tripping me up the most was getting this Ken Burns pen and zoom animation stuff to work properly. And, you know, I'd first written it in OpenGL, and I could barely spell OpenGL when I was first looking into it. And I sat down at WWDC in 2005 and got to sit down with some Apple developer, you know, technical support people. And we worked through a little tester app that I brought. So the critical preparation I'd made is I actually had said, instead of trying to bring my entire project, I brought just a very simple tester application. It just would load two images and try and do this pan and zoom to certain areas. And I went back and forth several times with it. In fact, I had opened up a DTS incident. And in 2008, I did the same thing, but then I switched to using core animation. And it was the same thing. I was astounded that I was able to sit down with somebody from Apple and get their undivided attention, because there was no one there. And that was really surprising. And for those who went to NS Conference and heard Marcus Zara, you know, he echoed the same thing. He said that, you know, he was one of the first people looking at the sitting in the core data lab, and he couldn't believe that there was no one there, and he sat there and solved a huge problem. So they have the labs covering all the different frameworks and new technologies that you're there, and you kind of have to get in the mindset of the engineers are there. I mean, for one thing, just like any engineer, you want to be proud of the work you do. So Apple's, you know, they write APIs for third-party developers. So the more you go in there and exercise their APIs, the happier they are. They're happy to see if there are problems, they want to know about them sooner rather than later, or they want to see cool stuff being made for it. So you just going there prepared with a gnarly problem, it's fantastic for them and for you.
I think you've, to me, you pointed out a couple of really good points there. Is firstly, you know, the engineers want to know about what's going on in their frameworks. They want to know how people are using it, even if you're not using it in quite the right way. They'll be interested in hearing that. But I think the biggest point you said to me there is actually you And something that I know I learned from you, John, about 3 years ago when I first went to WWDC is get your problem and simulate it in a smaller project. So you can just take that project to an engineer, and then without having to explain all the crap that goes around it, and, oh, this is this, and this is setting up this, and this is setting up this, you can just take the problem that you've got, stick it in front of the engineer with just the 50 lines of code or 100 lines of code or 2,000 lines of code, but the point is just the code that's causing the problem, and sort of say, okay, how do I fix this? Now, we can't always do that, because we can't always break it out of the application it's in or whatever, but if you can break it out and take a project where you're looking to solve the problem in, you know, that is a lot better than just taking your big mass of code that's going to take you 20 minutes to explain it, and you're more likely to get a decent answer from the engineer.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that, you know, they can't guarantee anything. You know, it kind of depends on the engineer, but I've often found that if you're really nice, you can get a direct email contact and they're happy to help on something, even if they can't solve the problem there. I mean, it's all about building relationships with people. You know, it was last year when I was having a problem with the MemoryMiner web viewer, and it was with Mobile Safari, and you know, there was, and I believe there still is, a problem with you know, garbage collection of images. Basically, you don't control in JavaScript when something, you know, you dereference it. It doesn't necessarily mean that memory is reclaimed. And after a while, you keep loading these large images like I do, and it just stops working. It's supposed to advance to the next image, but in fact, you still have the old image floating around. It's simply run out of memory. And in that particular case, the mobile WebKit people were really happy to see the problem, because it reduced it for them quite nicely. And I was able to trade email with somebody there for a couple times, and, you know, find, you know, in that particular case, there really wasn't a solution for it, but at least I knew to stop banging my head against the wall with it. So, I mean, sometimes the engineering problems, just knowing when to, you know, knowing when to stop in a particular direction is a good thing as well.
Yeah, I sort of discovered that 2 years ago. Was it 2009 when I had a problem in SearchKit, and the very fact that I couldn't find an Apple engineer who knew anything about SearchKit gave me a suggestion that might not be the right technology to be using at that time. Because there didn't seem to be any love for it going on. And you know, and speaking to some quite senior engineers, and they said, oh, I don't really know who works on that or where that gets worked on, or no, we can't. You know, I'm not sure which team would even have responsibility for that. Gave me a good idea that actually I shouldn't really be expecting bugs or problems or advancements in that technology to be too forthcoming. So let's find an alternative way of doing things.
Well, I think sorry, go ahead.
No, you keep going, John. I was just, in fact, before you start, chat room. If you have any tips for WWDC, start typing them into the chat room, and in a few minutes' time, we'll come back to them and pick them up. And we're going to get Simon to do one in a minute. But sorry, John, carry on from where you were.
Well, I was just saying that, you know, although, you know, going to WWDC, the ticket, it's pretty pricey. It kind of depends. If you're in India, it's a bit of an investment. If you're a corporate type, it's kind of, you know, probably well within budget. You just have to basically realize that you owe it to yourself and your project to come there prepared. And I kind of have some other tips which aren't completely related to WWDC, but just for the notion of traveling somewhere. I would be happy to share them if you'd like.
Yes, but well, let Simon have a go now, and we'll come back to you in a minute, John.
Sure.
Because I think we want to share the love. Simon, what would be one of your WWDC top tips?
Well, without wanting to step on John's toes, one of the things I did to the last WWDC I went to is I actually went sort of old school, and I took a notebook with me. And I put in the notebook, along with sort of maps of the area and things like that, I put a list of all the events that were going on around WWDC. There are lunchtime events, there are a lot of events in the evenings, and a lot that compete. So it was sort of like a timetable I had with me, just kept in my pocket, which meant that I could then have a look, see what was going on, where it was going, and work out what I was going to go to, and talk to people about what we were going to go to, because there's much more to WWDC, as you know, than just the conference itself and what Apple provide. Obviously, there's everybody going to the bars and the restaurants and having fun, but there are also a lot of events put on by companies and individuals which are sort of like a slightly more formal party, and they're a very, very good place to meet new people, to learn new things, to hear new things. Quite often there'll be presentations at them. Well worth going to, but there are generally too many for you to go to all of them, and they overlap and they clash. So have some sort of plan of what you want to do before you even go there. Obviously, you can change your plan and your ideas as you're there and as people make suggestions about where to go and what to do. But just have a rough plan at least of how you're going to spend that week in San Francisco and what you'd like to do.
I agree with that, because actually the week can become so chaotic. Now, whether it's on a notebook and a piece of paper, that's a different matter, because I'd lose a piece of paper straight away. Maybe a note on your iPhone?
Possibly. So if you're being modern.
Could be something like that. If you're being modern, one of these modern Fandango devices.
Exactly.
So, I mean, basically, do not see WWDC as a set of sort of just sessions, technical sessions, to which you're going to attend. WWDC is about a community experience. Compared to something like NS Conference or C4, it's huge. But at 5,000 people, it's still not one of the biggest conference it is small enough that there is still some community stuff going on. Now, Jay and Josh in the chat room wants to know what it's like. How bad it's going to be to check into WWDC on a Monday? Well, actually, if you turn up during the keynote, it's fairly easy to check in because there's no one around anymore. So if you don't want to queue, then that's
Or Sunday afternoon.
That's great. Sunday afternoon is good. He's saying that he can't fly till late Sunday.
Right.
Now, what about you? John, are you one of these people who gets in the queue at 4 a.m. for the keynote?
Can I say hell no on family podcast?
You can. And you know, because actually we always travel together to WWDC each morning, that that means hell no from me as well. Simon, last time you went, were you an early bird?
I was an early bird, but only because I had jet lag. I actually flew out on the Sunday, arrived Sunday sort of mid-afternoon. And so I was actually up at about 5 o'clock in the morning, wide awake. So I did go in queue and was fairly close to the front, actually. It's certainly not worth staying out overnight for. Although I have to say, I think that the keynotes these days are a big sort of PR session for Apple with very little technical content. And if you're not suffering from jet lag or you're feeling lazy, I'm not sure I'd rush to go and see one live again. I think either turn up and go into one of the overflow rooms if you're late, or skip it. It doesn't really matter that much. You'll get the news from it because that's the bit that's public. It's the stuff that comes after it that's under NDA and confidential. But I don't think now I'd make a huge effort to deliberately get up and go in queue for hours and hours and hours standing on the pavement. It's great for meeting sort of the 10, 20 people immediately around you. But, you know, it's a long stand out on a pavement with not much to do for really what is sort of an hour of PR, an hour and a half of PR. I'm a bit cynical about the WWDC keynotes these days.
Yeah, and there's all the rumours this year, no hardware, isn't there? Mm. So, I don't know, Lion, iOS 5. Actually, it might be a better keynote, because actually going to a developer conference to have them announce an iPhone, as much as I love the iPhone, but they can do that in another event. You know, I'd much rather have a tech talk. So in fact, for me, of the WWDCs I've been to, almost my favourite part of WWDC as far as the sessions are concerned are the Monday afternoon sessions, where they do the State of the Unions for OS X and for Xcode and graphics and whatever else. And, you know, that's when they really give you the what's coming up, what's new. And actually, as far as sessions go, that's normally, you know, my favourite bit of the week. Because equally, that for me then defines what other sessions I want to go to during the week.
Yeah, it's so the overview.
For example, I think 2009, when I was last there, you know, the State of the Union showed Xcode 4.
Mm.
And suddenly you realised, okay, we want to go see Xcode 4 this week, and I put down the Xcode 4 sessions where we begin to see the built-in static analyzer and all the ooh stuff, which was great. So I the keynote, I go to the overflow room, but then again, you know, that's me. I know lots of people do love to get there early and queue up, and they love it, but that's great. That's for them. Okay, John, another tip.
Well, this is I think somewhat echoing Simon, but you know, because I live in San Francisco, I probably have a different perspective about it. But a big takeaway I took from NS Conference in this past trip is that we talked a lot about design and how do you get good at design. First of all, that design is not just about how things look pretty, but that's probably the least important aspect of it, but how things work. And the question always comes up, well, how do you become good at design? And I'm not a graphic designer, so how can I possibly know anything about it? And the consensus, talking point seemed to have been the way to get good at design is to attune yourself to your experiences in seeing things with a kind of beginner's mind for the first time, whether it's something about, how a door opens or how signage works or just seeing something that sparks your imagination. I mean, people write software typically to kind of scratch their own itch, whatever it is. I mean, if you are writing audio recording software, isn't it fun to go out in different places to go see a neighborhood that you might not have, because you're jet lag, you're up early, go down and see some neighborhood and listen to different sounds or take pictures of something different or whatever your passion is, whether it's food or I don't know, comic books or movies or whatever. There's such an interesting variety of things to do in San Francisco. And I think that's honestly almost as important as part of your whole WWDC experience as the technical talks and meeting with friends. It's just that you're just going to be able to see something that stretches your mind a little bit. So and that kind of ties in, as I said, to the jet lag thing. If you're going to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning anyway, how often are you normally up at 5 o'clock in the morning? Go see something, go walk down to the Embarcadero and look at the fog or the sunshine coming up over the bridges, whatever. You're going to find something that you may think this has nothing to do with core data. It's like, well, no, it doesn't, but it has everything to do with how your mind works and relaxing yourself or just getting your mind off of the minutia of code, I think will make a big difference to how well you produce something of value and beauty.
Oh, definitely. And if you're arriving on the Friday before WWDC or maybe staying over the Saturday afterwards, it's an experience John introduced me to. Go down to the ferry building on a Saturday morning, the organic farmers market. There's usually music down there. There's fantastic food for your lunch down there. There's a real buzz. The sun is shining. Just go let your mind sort of either chill out ready for the week or chill out after the week. Yeah, that's what I go do. It's a great experience. You're bound to run into some other delegates down there as well, so you do can end up having tech talk with cabbages. That's in the farmers market, not the other developers. So I would totally agree. We're getting loads of chat about jet lag and how long does it take to get over. Well, I guess that depends where you come from and who you are, so we'll move on from that one. Joe Workman is asking, he only lives 45 minutes away from WWDC. Do you think it's better to stay? In my opinion, Joe, the answer is yes, because actually it's about let me rephrase that. If you can easily get transport back to where you are at 1 a.m. or midnight or whatever else, then that's great. Or someone's going to pick you up or the local transport works. But really, to get the most from WWDC, it's all about the evenings as well. It's all about the people. It's all about the parties and just picking up. So I would say if you can afford it, stay. I mean, you're ideal, John, aren't you? You live right in the middle of San Francisco.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's too easy for me, but I think the other thing that people follow lots of different people on Twitter, but there are all these little kind of quickly organized events. I know, for example, Daniel Jalkut, who used to live in the Mission a couple blocks away from me. I think he's done it now 2 or 3 times, where he says it's very easy to get on BART during lunchtime and go see a different neighborhood, and you can have some nice you could have a great burrito or taco or whatever. I mean, that's what the neighborhood is very well known for. So there are lots of different places you can get to very quickly with a quick BART ride is probably the fastest. Barring that, there's Muni, but anything that goes underground on rails and doesn't get caught in traffic above, you can be somewhere quite different. And I think that a lot of people tend to think, well, I have to stay physically in Moscone and I already paid money for this food. Well, the food, if you've never been before, the food is just getting progressively worse. And it's kind of another thing. If you eat crappy food, you're not going to be in very good, in very good shape to be able to learn during the time. So here's a chance for you to take a quick walk to the ferry building or a quick BART ride somewhere. And there are lots of other people who want to do it. So, take if you're not normally a very outgoing personality. Now's the time to become one. At least do it on Twitter. If you tweet somebody with the WWDC hashtag and say, hey, I'm interested in going, seeing something different or going out for lunch somewhere, you will absolutely find other people who will want to come along for you and with you. And just make sure that you spend a little time seeing something different.
I think that's worth pointing out. You don't have to go to every session.
No.
So take a long lunch break. Go for a walk. Find a nice restaurant or a good fast food joint of the type of food that you like that's better than that's in the centre. You know, go with some people. Go with some people you've never met before. You know, if at lunchtime, here's a tip for you. At lunchtime, lots of people go out onto the steps of Moscone Centre. In that way, you know, just go out to the steps of Moscone Centre and say, anyone fancy coming down the mission for lunch? I bet two or three people will say yes, new group of friends, off you go, grab some nice lunch, don't rush back, great contacts who you'll stay in touch with afterwards.
Definitely, and one of the things I was going to say is, particularly in sort of this day with podcasts and blogs and things, don't be afraid of going up and introducing yourself to people, whether they are people you've never heard of or whether they are people who you know you've heard of or you think are sort of big names in the developer community. Go up, say hello. If you read their blog or listen to their podcast, tell them. But don't be sort of scared. When I first went to WWDC, I'd only been doing Cocoa development for a few months. And although I'd been listening to podcasts and reading blogs and things, you'd sort of see people like, I don't know, Daniel Jalkut, and you'd sort of think, wow, you know, I know Daniel through sort of his online presence, but I'm not going to go and say hello because I'm nobody and I'm too shy. And don't do any of that. Just march over. Don't interrupt him if he's talking to someone else, but march over, introduce yourself, say hello, and be friendly. You know, pretty much everybody I think I know in the developer community or have met in the developer community, very, very friendly, very relaxed. Go over, say hi.
Yeah, but don't big up Daniel too much because he does a rival podcast, so...
Yeah, okay. Don't go and say hello to Daniel. Throw fruit at him.
No, Daniel's a great guy. Great respect for Daniel. Definitely. Everybody at WWDC, go say hello to Daniel all at the same time.
Yeah, there's actually going to be a flash mob, hello Daniel, during the middle of the keynote. So everybody make sure they do that. It's the first time, you know, Steve Jobs crosses his hands like this, that's when you have to say, hello Daniel, that's the trigger. So make sure you do that.
Yeah, no, we'll see. That would be quite good, actually, if we could organize some sort of shout out during the keynote. I don't think we've got that much influence. I mean, all 26 viewers would probably not be quite enough to manage that. Oh, dear. Okay. Simon, give us another tip.
You see people in the sessions taking copious amounts of notes. Now, I know some people can do that and they can absorb what's been said and taking things that are going on around them. But to be perfectly honest, these days particularly, and based on last year, the videos come out so quickly, I would suggest just going, sitting in the session, absorbing it. Don't worry about notes too much. If there's something really, really important that you need to note down because it relates to something you're working on or stuck on, fine. But don't just sit there and try and transcribe everything. There's really no point. The videos come out, the slides come out. You'll get all the information that you're sitting there watching live on your computer in iTunes so that you can review it at your leisure within weeks. And last year it was, a couple of weeks, I think, after the conference?
It was pretty darn quick, but that's the first time they've done that.
Yeah.
So we're hoping they do that again this time. You know, there were some worries that putting the videos out so fast for free would... maybe people wouldn't go to the conference, but that
apparently not. That
obviously wasn't a real worry, no. Was it? So I think that's a good one because, and again, for me in a session, I mean, I'm not saying this is for everybody, but, you can get the videos. So just pick up on a couple of bits. Another thing, don't be frightened to leave a session halfway through. Or even after 5 minutes or 10 minutes, the sessions. One of the poor things about WWDC in the past has been, you know, the sessions are not very well described, and so there's a title and maybe a very brief introduction. But actually, until someone has sat down and done the introduction to the session, you often don't know what's coming up. Equally, some speakers, you know, these guys are engineers who are doing the talking. They're not professional speakers. I mean, I know Apple have a team that try and train them and teach them how to give sessions. But, you know, not everyone is going to engage you. Not everyone is you're going to find easy to listen to or be able to understand. So, you know, walk into the session. If you don't like it, get up and go to another one. I think in 2008, my first year, I think that was.
Core Data?
I think I did four sessions during 1 hour at one point, which may be slightly excessive. I make a point of always sitting on the end of a rope. But please, 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 don't be one of those pain in the ass people who sticks yourself on the end of an empty row so no one else can get in there.
Well, you've just said that's what you do.
No, I wait. I hover in the room. I wait until the room's full, and then go put myself on a row. And if there is no end of a row, I might sit at the back or do something like that. But you know, you walk into a room and you know people all sit at the ends, and you have to ask them to move, and it's just, you know, oh come on. You know, be reasonable human beings. How hard is it to move down a couple of seats into the middle?
Have we found your pet peeve by any chance?
Oh. And if you drive in the middle lane all the time as well, then you really are not in my good books as well. John, give us a more happy tip.
Well, I'm going to steal this from the chat room. Some people said, wear a company T-shirt. Now, I was going to ask that, you know, since you're my podcast employer, Scotty, have you prepared the Trabant T-shirt for me or the Stuttering Fool T-shirt for me?
I can prepare you a Stuttering Fool T-shirt if you wish, John. It would be my pleasure to prepare the Stuttering Fool T-shirt for you.
Okay.
What you've got to do is promise to wear it for the whole week. No matter
well,
how hot
you know
and smelly
me. It's
you
like
get.
Evidently, I'm not terribly shy about wearing silly clothes. So,
if you
make it, I will do it. I think if you make an iDeveloper TV T-shirt that has a Trabant on the front, you know, and a Stuttering Fool on the back, I will definitely wear it for at least a good portion of the show. But it's an interesting point. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of times people come up to you, it's like, to be perfectly honest, I had no idea what Simon looked like because I only knew him on Twitter, and he has like, you have like kind of what looks like a tiger or something as your
it's,
Twitter
it's a,
avatar.
It's a,
and
so, it's a wolf's paw, John. It's a wolf's paw.
It's a what?
A wolf's paw. A wolf.
A wolf's
it's,
paw. Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, right. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Rawr.
So, well, how am I? Right.
That's the new.
I'm here with Alan Partridge.
Anyway,
for anyone who knows who Alan Partridge is, I'm sitting next to him.
That's the new. When there's three of us on the show, that's the new.
No, but seriously, so a lot of, you know, that's your chance, or maybe just, you know, get a T-shirt with your Twitter handle on the back. It may seem like it's, you know, oh it's self-serving advertising, but I think you have to realize that you are in geek company. I mean, so it doesn't hurt to do it. You know, as I said, here's your chance to go a little bit outside your comfort zone. You will thank me for doing it.
Yeah,
or you'll sue me. I don't know.
I last time I was at WBC, I had a T-shirt that I had written on the back. If you're following me now, why not also follow me on Twitter?
I remember it was very clever.
I gave my Twitter handle down there. So I got about a good 100-150 new followers during WWDC, so that was okay. That's it. Simon, do you have another one for us?
Well, talking of Twitter, use Twitter. It's a fantastic way of meeting up with people that you know, finding out where people are going, finding out what's going on. It's also very good if you're sitting in a session that you're not enjoying, as Scotty said, leave. But it's a great way of also finding out very quickly what other sessions are good and what sessions are bad. And you can then decide which ones that you maybe should be going into or moving into and which ones you should definitely avoid. It's a really, really useful tool. In 2008, it was really sort of in its infancy and was a bit restricted, a bit unstable. I guess the previous 2 years, it's been a bit flaky. But, you know, I think this year, I'm guessing it'll be really good. Hopefully it'll stay up during the keynote and everything else. Won't be the fail whale. But Twitter is a really, really useful real-time tool for WWDC.
Yeah, I agree. There's a statement been made in the chat room is, do you think they need to take the MacBook Pro to WWDC, or would an iPad be good enough? Whereas, yeah, I think it's possible. If you're just going to the sessions, then I can't see any reason to have a laptop anymore at all. An iPad is fantastic for this sort of thing. You can keep the odd bit of notes. You can do your Twitter. You can check your email. Mm-hmm. You can do, especially if you've got a 3G one, you can use it to do your geolocation and everything else. Obviously, if you're going to the labs, you want a laptop.
Yep.
Because you want to be able to show code, you want to be able to go through stuff, and stuff like that.
But a number of the sessions even are hands-on. So, I don't know. I think it's better to have a laptop because you can use the simulator on your MacBook, but there's no Mac simulator for iPad.
Yeah, I guess so, but not that many. Most okay. 11-inch MacBook Air would probably be ideal then, just being said in the chat room. that'd be actually a fantastic conference machine. Because the thing is, the first year I went, I took my 17-inch MacBook Pro with me. And I tell you, after 8 hours of lugging that around all day between sessions, it's like carrying a sack of coal or something. It's best to stay agile, to stay free as you can, travel light. So an iPad and a bottle of water. What more do you need?
Yeah.
Now I would recommend going there with an 8-way Mac Pro cheese grater and a decent power generator.
Drag it on a skateboard.
That will get you noticed. So.
Right. My next tip is design reviews. Apple do a number of sessions during the week. In fact, I'm not sure if it's during all the lab times, but you can book in with an Apple UI engineer to have a review of your application's UI, its interface. And you're sitting down with the guys who are doing things like doing the UI design for iWork or for iLife or some of maybe the Apple Pro Tools. These are UI designers and engineers, and they will go in there and they will rip you to shreds. You get a 30-minute appointment, and it will be one of the most profitable 30 minutes your UI will ever have, even though you will come out crying like a baby, as I've seen John do several times.
Well, basically, sometimes they don't even talk. They just have like a little Dyson vacuum cleaner going, and you present something. You just press a button, it goes... Or they like give you a little straw for like greetings from the WWDC Design Lab.
Now the thing is with the design labs, design reviews, unlike the labs are, they might say that Tuesday afternoon is a core data lab and you can just drop in. For the design reviews, you have to book an appointment. So you need to go down sometime when the labs are open, get an appointment, and then you have to turn up for it. If you're late, you won't get another one because they fill up pretty darn quickly. So I would say, if you have any thoughts of getting a review done, go down Monday lunchtime or the first Monday afternoon as soon as the labs open. Get yourself booked in for some time during that week. There are two. There's one for iOS and there's one for a Mac. Maybe this year there'll be one. So they'll separate iPad and iPhone. I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. How new or how old your UI is, having someone else of that sort of skill look at it and make comments, it's going to be painful. The worst thing you can do is sit there and argue with them. Yeah, because actually you're just wasting your 30 minutes. Just make a note, write it down, maybe point something out if it needs to be, but just take it in the gut and then go away and think about it. So, John, you got anything else for us? So I can hear you typing, so...
Somebody was asking, do they really do design reviews? And the answer is yes. I mean, you can go in there, and that's it's kind of the amazing thing. It's like, when else are you going to get a little time with John Galenzi, for example, or other similar luminaries at Apple? I think that the flip side of it, and it's kind of funny, but there's always been this question of about copying in software, and kind of every third party out there has copied something from Apple, and Apple certainly copied plenty of things from third parties. So you also have to be a little bit mindful of that. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do it. I think you just have to kind of accept the fact that it's going to do it. I mean, it was kind of fun when I was showing some of the location stuff related to Memory Miner not that long ago. And when iPhone, whatever, the most recent one came out, then people were saying, wow, that looks a lot like it. And I'm not by any means claiming that they stole my idea or anything like that. But don't be surprised. You kind of have to be prepared for that be willing to show your stuff. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, I have to be super secretive. And I don't think you really have to. I mean, it's been said many times, ideas are nothing. It's execution. I mean, Will Shipley has a whole blog about that right now. So if you were at all nervous about going to an Apple design review and whether it's for code or user experience and thinking, oh, I better not reveal my secrets, disabuse yourself of that notion. You're there to be able to put something out in the world and be prepared to learn how to make it better.
I was just going to say there are areas around Moscone where people will sit and work and write code and things, and there are two things about those. One is quite often it's people who want to show off their applications and get feedback and discuss them, so it's sort of a peer review process. Mm-hmm. And either go along and see other people's stuff or take your own stuff along and ask people what they think. The second thing is in several of the areas they will have a whiteboard and people will put up things like job postings that they've got. Mm-hmm. It's well worth just keeping your eye out while you're going around the place just to see what's been written up on these boards, because if you're looking for a job or a bit of work or something like that, you know, people advertise.
So if your boss has just paid for you to go to WWDC, it's a great place to find another another job for when you get back.
It worked for me.
Yeah.
If you do something stupid and it's caught in public, you better make sure that you have plenty of job possibilities. So.
Yeah. Just go back to the design reviews. Now, not everyone will like this and not everyone will want this, and so you need to be sensitive and careful. But I actually, when I was last time there 2 years ago, I went to about 6 different design reviews because I just asked other developers, can I sit in on your design review? I'm not to say a word, not to do anything. I have no opinion in there, but actually just to sit and watch someone else critique someone else's UI was incredibly valuable. It helps give ideas. Now, obviously, the person you're sitting with, you might need to know you or trust you. You might have only met them the day before, maybe in one of the areas you were talking about where people share code earlier on. But yeah, even if you don't have a thing ready for a design review yourself, go see someone else's, because you know it's all solid, constructive advice, and they'll tell you why this works, why that doesn't work, and that you can apply that for yourself.
That's a great suggestion. I never thought to do that. Only you could get away with that because you're so affable and everybody loves you.
Oh, thank you very much, John. Right, next tip. Whose turn is it?
I'm trying to think what I've got left.
Now you're just revealing register. You've got notes, Simon, see, because you've just gone out of shot to look at your
I'm gonna just
silly
keeling,
little
keeling,
pink bits of paper
keeling over.
That you've put on my desk.
They are your pink bits of paper. We touched on it earlier, but they do registration on the Sunday. If you're in San Francisco on the Sunday afternoon, it's a good idea to go along then. It's a lot less hassle to go and register, get your goodie bag, whatever they're giving away. You can then leave it in your hotel or wherever you're staying, so you don't have to carry that around with you on the Monday. And it avoids a lot of the stress on the Monday morning of worrying about whether you're going to get into sessions or, you know, whether you'll get into the keynote or anything else. So if you're there early enough, go along on the Sunday and do your registration then.
Ah, yeah. Oh, I've got a good tip. Call me, Scotty, come on.
All right, John, what's your good tip, John?
Buy a big-ass portable hard drive. I feel like an idiot for at least one or two WWDCs. I was like struggling, running out of room, and it's dumb. You know, you can go around the corner. There's a place called Central Computers or something. It's on Howard Street between 4th and 5th, where you can just walk in there and get an external hard drive for nothing, for like, you know, 40, 50 bucks or something. Get one, because if they give you a pre-release of something or you need to get some example code, you know, here's the other things. Like when you're at Moscone, if you can find a place that has a wired connection and you need to download something, you'll never get so fast a connection as you're there. So go ahead, load up and get gigabytes of sample code or, you know, pre-release tool packages. You'll thank me.
I think I downloaded Xcode for at least 3 times because I couldn't believe it had actually downloaded. It was so darn fast. I thought there must be a problem with it because it was some ridiculously fast time to download it. So yes. So basically, if you've got huge YouTube uploads to do, you just rack them all up.
Your MS conference videos.
And the best place to be. I don't know if they used to. They do this because they because it's no longer an IT conference. But when they had the IT part of the conference as well, obviously in the IT lab area, they would have loads and loads of kits set up for doing diagnostics and whatever else, and they had a really fast connection, and you could just go in there and you could upload your life in about 3 seconds and get back to doing what you're going to do.
But the other thing with that is, of course, the Wi-Fi network there is actually good, so
it actually stays up, doesn't it?
Yeah, so don't swamp it with Mi-Fis and things like that.
Yeah, we don't want 7,000 networks in
this
place.
No, because all that does is it just brings the whole thing down for everybody. There's really not an awful lot of need for that. Your iPad, your iPhone, and your laptop have all got Wi-Fi in it. The Wi-Fi at the conference is really, really good.
Okay, there's a point being made in the chat room that remember that everything other than the first morning is under NDA. So you can't go tweeting it or blogging it or whatever else. It's all NDA stuff. So just keep that in mind.
That's why you should basically, you know, get your own Twitter handle with a fake email address that you control. And basically, yeah. So I already took I am Graham's mom, but you can certainly do I am Scotty's, you know, son or something like that.
Yeah.
And use that. That's and be prepared. be prepared with humorous acted things. So there was like, you know, roared acted and this acted and food acted. So, you know, if you are going to tweet something about it, because, you know, I'm not advocating people do those things, but if you are on Twitter and people are wanting to make comments or something like that, there are ways of finding a little stand-in for something where you don't break NDA because you're talking in cryptographical references.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I always get quite annoyed. I mean, everybody knows what the word redacted means. So everyone's tweeting what they like and just changing, you know, Xcode or iOS for word redacted. It's a bit pointless, really, isn't it? But there we are. Never mind. Okay, I think we've got time. What are we doing? 18:46. We've got time just for maybe a couple more. John, do you have anything else you wish to offer?
I'll take that
as a no. Simon, anything else on your pink pieces of paper?
No, I think my pink pieces of paper are exhausted, really.
Okay, that's excellent. So we're going to... anyone else in the chat room just want to offer anything, of course, for...
for posterity's sake.
They're down there. No, I can't see anything else in there that we need to really pick up on. And if there is and I've missed it, I do apologise. Okay, right. So let's just move on quickly.
To what?
I have no idea. We haven't planned this bit. No. Okay.
Well, how about you tell us about how Devs Against Poverty did?
Yeah, I am going to tell you about how Devs Against Poverty did. But first of all, I have to just find how well Devs Against Poverty did, because I've lost the page that I had up. Here we go. Right, okay. Developers Against Poverty. Are you ready? Give me a drum roll. No. I'm sorry. We have to stop. John sounded like a drum roll. What was that?
Well, I don't know. It's our very British restrained drum sound.
If you're going to be on this show, it was British gastritis, is what it was. Okay. Should we try that one more time?
I think I should just leave the sound effects to you. He does drums, you do rar. So.
What?
You're rar.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh.
Rar. Yeah.
That's the one. Okay. yes. Give it the two. Come on, Simon. Let's do the three wolf claws.
Is this the alternative to the Fist of Gamble, then?
Right, okay. Developers Against Poverty. Yes, thank you very much to everybody. The 208 people who donated to Developers Against Poverty, because we raised $64,342, which is absolutely fantastic. And what will $64,342 do? Well, what it will do is it will provide water for 3,217 people for the next 20 years. So there are 3,217 people out there whose... It's not just about water. Their lives are going to change because they're not going to spend 6 hours a day trying to find water or walk with water. They're going to be able to maybe get a job or go to school instead, because water is in there. There's a provision. It's going to be for 20 years. It's going to affect at least two, if maybe three generations. So although maybe 3,217 people will start now, that's going to affect tens of thousands of people from that 3,000 over the next 20 years. So developers, feel proud that you have helped people, and that's been fantastic. So thank you, everybody else, all 208 of you, and hopefully we'll not going to know if we're going to do it again, maybe next year. We'll see just how it feels and how it goes, but I think that's a good start.
I think it's excellent. Well done, Scotty.
Well done, thank
you. Well done, Scotty.
Just thank you to all those out there who gave money. And there were some really generous donations out there. Lots of people donated. It didn't really matter how much they were. Quite a few indies developed their entire revenue for a month from it, and their revenue came in, and it wasn't huge, but this is, these are guys who are trying to earn money, and they're struggling at the beginning, but so you look at the amount and you think, that's not a huge amount, but actually for them to give that up is huge.
Yep.
We all know what it's like when you're going indie and you're trying to start and revenue's a real issue. So, there was some real sense of then down to people who gave $5 because, that's what they felt they could afford. But that's fantastic. As I said, take part. That was the main thing, take part. Yeah. So those people...
Not to be all California, but I can guarantee when you do something good in the world, the positive ripple comes back to you. It's a no-brainer.
I might get to sit next to Simon again.
Yeah, I thought he said there was a positive ripple.
That's it. Right, okay. I think we're going to call that a wrap for this week. Unless, John, you have anything that's happened this week that you need to tell us about?
No.
No, that's good then. Then just tell us who you are.
I'm John Fox, and I make a product called Memory Miner, and you can find out all about it on memoryminer.com. If you're interested in reading my blog about making Memory Miner, you can go to memoryminer.com/blog. If you want to follow my stutterings on Twitter, I'm at djembe, D-J-E-M-B-E, like the West African drum. And I know that in the show notes, you're going to put the link to the snarky photos and videos that I took from NS Conference, so you can relive it if you didn't have the chance to actually be there.
Yeah, I want to say something about that, because actually, not only were there some great photos from NS Conference there as well, but actually, you know, the UI and the way that works, it's all cappuccino, yeah?
It is.
It's all cappuccino, Memory Miner for the web. If you don't, you know, if you don't really know what sort of thing you can do with cappuccino and how to do it, I think the stuff that John's put together is a fantastic example to go and look at, and just see how it works, and, you know, attachments to the photos and audio on some of them, or video. You know, it's just, you know, it was really cool. And it's
thank you.
Really great. Thank you, John. Simon, we've been recording the final part of QT Kit. We haven't been sat here for the whole week doing QT Kit, I assure you. Simon came back today. We had good continuity. We made sure that we were wearing the same clothes this week as we were last week.
Yeah, there's one slight hitch, though, wasn't there?
Yeah, I shaved my beard off between the two and forgot.
And you got rid of your dreadlocks, right, Simon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the QT Kit film is in the bag, as they say.
Yep, ready for editing.
The editing has begun, so that'll be a nice introduction to QT Kit out soon. So we've had fun doing that, and we've eaten quite a lot of pizza and food at the same time. But tell people who you are, because then they'll know who they're going to listen to when they all go out and buy QT Kit.
Okay, I am Simon Wolfe. I run a company called Otter Software. You can read some of my occasional ramblings at my blog, which is ottersoftwareblog.com. And you can find me on Twitter as SGAW.
Oh, it's me next, isn't it? One day I'll work out how to do this stuff. Okay, I'm Scotty, and Now Developers Against Poverty is over. I can say that I'm from iDeveloper TV, so it's iDeveloper.tv. You can follow me on Twitter at MacDevNet, and of course you can go to iDeveloper TV and buy as many of my products as you like, and I will love you for eternity. This has been what we called iDeveloper Live. That's the one. Keep changing the name so often I've forgotten. This has been iDeveloper Live episode 16. Thank you, chat room. You've been really active today, and that's been good. They've been well behaved today, haven't they?
They have.
No,
yeah.
Danny Gregg, see?
No. It's because I'm not in there heckling.
No Graham Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep the scum out for next time. We love you, Daddy. We love you, Graham. Until next time, you take care.